Radio Biafra. I'm not getting any signal. Oh yeah, come on, stand this is Radio Biafra. This is Radio Biafra.
Yeah.
This is Radio Biafra. Yeah. This is Radio Biafra. This is Radio Biafra. Yeah.
That's fine now.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to use the microphone as well. Yeah, can you hold it?
Yeah, can you say something, please?
Testing 1, 2, 3. Test 1, 2, 3. Test.
Testing. Mine is okay.
Testing together.
Fine.
That's
okay.
Okay,
that's
fantastic.
Yeah.
You can take that away. Yeah, you can take it away. Yeah.
So we're actually live, as the case may be. And to those of you listening, this is a live presentation, of course. This is Radio Biafra. We are in, should we say this is South Central LA, is that correct? In Los Angeles, is that correct? Wonderful. Is this South Central, they say?
It is.
Is it? Is south, not South Central, but South Los Angeles.
Yeah, we're located on, this is 81st and Vermont. It's located in South Central Los Angeles. It's actually a few blocks from where the 1992 LA riots broke out.
Exactly. That was what I was trying to get at. Yes. Thank you very much. You may now proceed. The world is listening to us. May now go ahead, please. Go ahead.
Fantastic. So, Mr. Cano, please tell us about yourself, your educational background, and your work experience, and what influenced you to start the Biafra movement?
As those of you here and all over the world listening may know, I'm Nnamdi Kanu, and I'm from Isiama Faruku in Ibeku. I attended Government College Omwahia after attending Labour Avenue Primary School. From there, I went on to University of Nigeria in Nsukka, where I was reading geography before I decided to leave to travel to England to go and study political economy. And having studied that, I have worked in various fields, but ostensibly as a management consultant. And I did that for very many years in the UK until I saw the light, until I saw the calling, which meant that I had to abandon everything I'm doing or partly fund it as a matter of course to make sure that we are where we are today. So that is who I am, and what motivated me to do what I'm doing is simply because I detest oppression, I don't like what was happening to our people, and there was need for us to do something, and we did it. So you can say that we put our money where our mouth is. We used our funds to fund Radio Biafra to get our people together, and we're here today. And glory be to heaven for that.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for that. Now, in Biafra land, you have several clans or ethnic groups, like the Ajah, Adoma, Igali, Abibio, Efik, and other clans. What moves are you making to get all these clans together in a united republic of Biafra?
What we are doing to get them together is a very simple thing. We speak the truth to them. We broadcast to them. We make sure that the same way we are organized here in Los Angeles and all across America is precisely what we are doing back home as well. As I'm speaking to you right now, I can confirm to you that there are family meetings all over the place, in Cross River State, in Bayelsa, in Rivers. In fact, Ikwerre Land, as we speak, in Igbocha, is arguably one of the strongest places we have on the ground in Biafra Land. So people are making very serious and massive efforts to come out, to be together with us, because they recognize, of course, that Biafra is for everybody. So what we do is very simple. We preach this gospel in truth and honesty by being very open, very transparent, very sincere to our people. They now recognize the need, especially those who previously referred to themselves as minorities, about the need for togetherness, to come together as one, to make sure we fight a common enemy. That common enemy is the Republic of Nigeria, and that's exactly what we are doing right now.
Thank you for that. Now, there are several freedom fighters agitating for Biafra restoration, like Masab and others. Are you all working together? If not, how can you actualize Biafra without a form of agreement or understanding between IPOB and other groups?
IPOB, as a matter of fact, is not an organization, it's not even a movement. It's a collection of people who feel passionately about the need to be free from the degradation, from the slavery that is the Nigerian state or the Nigerian society. Now, we are open to be joined by any other person. If people want to be part of what we are doing, they're more than welcome to do so. We have made very active effort to make sure that we attract everybody or all the people of like minds towards what we are doing. And how have we done that? IPOB is, for instance, here in Los Angeles. People can come and join. Our coordinator is here. We are all over the place in over 88 countries of the world. We are not stopping anybody from coming to join us. The only difficulties they may encounter in trying to join us is our puritanical stance on some of the key things that we believe in. We believe in righteous honesty. We believe in hard work. We believe in selflessness and dedication to what we are pursuing. We don't believe in compromise. We don't negotiate with terrorists, which the Nigerian state now represents. We do not compromise on our very high standards. If people can cope with that, they're more than welcome to come and join us. If they cannot cope with that, then that is where we have slight difficulties. But in terms of making moves to get them together, we have done so. And in the coming days and weeks, we will be announcing, of course, the sponsorship, or should I say, the burial of every MASOP member killed presently in the mortuary. IPOB will bury all of them alongside our own. And that is the very clearest indication so far that we're prepared and willing to accommodate people of slightly divergent views, but at the same time dedicated to the restoration of Biafran truth and honesty.
Thank you very much. Now, I'm sure you're aware of the deplorable conditions of infrastructure in Biafraland, like the roads, bridges, airports, ports, and industries. What do you have as a 10-year development plan to correct these anomalies when Biafra is restored?
We have very educated and very intelligent people all over the world. We are arguably the most creative black race on the face of the earth. We have what it takes, both materially and in terms of human resource, to make sure that we go ahead and put things that have gone wrong right. How do we intend to do that? We are going to work for 24 hours a day. The same work ethic that drives our people in America to be so successful, we are going to inculcate into our systems and processes to ensure that we work very, very hard. I can assure you, 24 hours every blessed day. Our plan is, in fact, for 75 years. We don't intend to work for only 10 years, but for 75 years. We have everything it takes. We know how to extract what we need to build our roads using ordinary palm oil. We have everything in our brain to be able to develop our land to be a world-class society, not in competition with anybody, but in terms of complementing other civilized and open societies in the world, especially countries like the USA, in terms of driving forward the human agenda, in terms of making sure there is a semblance of decency, especially in Africa. We represent the light in that part of the world, and we want to go on continuing to be a beacon and the land of hope for everybody of African descent. So we intend to work very hard. Don't worry about that.
Thank you. Now, as the world, as you know, is like a village where normal relationships between nations is crucial. Besides, there are some countries and organizations you cannot ignore their prime positions in the world as of today, such as USA, Russia, United Nations, etc. What diplomatic moves are we making in that regard? Is IPOB making in that regard?
We are in regular, or should I say consistent, touch with the people that matter. And in that regard, I am not at personal liberty to divulge our processes or how we do things, but I can categorically assure you that every significant government in the world is aware of what we are doing, and we intend to continue doing that very work in terms of our publicity, in terms of our advocacy, in terms of our enlightenment, in terms of us reaching out to them by various means available to us. We intend to do that and to continue doing that until the message of Biafra is assimilated by every relevant government around the world. In the case of the USA, for instance, I think that United States of America should form or should come up as a natural ally for Biafra, because we have basically the same value system. We believe in democracy. We believe in openness. We believe in transparency. we have the same anti-corruption agenda, or dare I say it, the same Judeo-Christian value system. Now, what I find very astonishing is that a country of such liberal-mindedness, a country of such openness, a country of such dedication and hard work should not overlook Biafra as a natural ally in terms of trying to carry their message of helping Africa come out of the very dubious cycle of poverty, pain, hunger, degradation, and want. If the world wants Africa to come out and survive, and of course enjoy all the array of human rights that has been penciled down or noted down in historic documents, then the best place to do that is to start with Biafra. Because if Biafra is free, then the rest of the world will follow in terms of making sure that Africa enjoys its pride of place amongst the community of civilized people around the world.
Thank you very much. Now, a lot of people in Biafra land, Nigeria, and diaspora are offended by you referring to them as monkeys and baboons. How do you react to these allegations?
I react to it the same way that I react to anything that I consider to be frivolous. If they are not monkeys and baboons, then I won't refer to them as such. It wasn't me, actually, who started it. It was Buhari who started it, the current dictator and head of state. If those of them here can bear me witness, it was the one that dressed up a baboon in PDP uniform. Is that not correct? And said these are, in fact, even when as far as saying that if he doesn't win the elections, that baboons and monkeys will be soaked in their own blood. Is that not correct?
That's correct.
So I am following a well-trodden path that we are all monkeys and baboons until we prove ourselves otherwise. We have to behave like reasonable human beings. Right now, what obtains in Africa, especially Nigeria, you cannot describe the people as human beings. I doubt it very much. Humans cannot behave or be as backwards, as barbaric as they are. Only baboons and monkeys are capable of doing that. That's why we refer to them as such.
Thank you. Some Biafrans, specifically those in diaspora, do not care and openly campaign against Biafra restoration. What be that will be their fate when Biafra comes?
When Biafra comes, they will not return to Biafra land until they have met every obligation required of them. The fact that people are in America enjoying, people died in America to build America. The American people fought the British to establish this place as a free country. White Americans fought white Americans to make sure that slavery is abolished. So there is the notion and concept of sacrifice in every pursuit of freedom anywhere around the world. Ours will not be an exception. If you want to be free, you must be prepared to fight for it, dedicatedly, of course. If you stand by the sidelines, you expect us to devote our time, our money, sacrifice our families, our comfort of life in order to pursue for freedom, whilst you stay by the side, then we can assure you categorically and assuredly that you will not come to Biafra land. If you enter into Biafra land, you will pay for all the years for every penny, we assure you. If not, you will not come in. We are not the first to do it in history. The same thing is happening in Kosovo. If you're not part of them, you cannot come in. The same will apply to Biafra land, because we want to build a land of selfless people where we value sacrifice and devotion, not just to oneself and to his or her family, but to the entirety of our society and mankind in general. If we cannot groom such children, then we are in very serious trouble. All the efforts, all the hard work we have accomplished over the years will quickly dissipate and come to nothing. Therefore, we are starting from now to notify everybody. If you have not made any conscious effort to join what we are doing, you better do so now. Because when it is too late to join us, then you cannot participate in Biafra land. You cannot come there. As simple as that.
Understood. Now, one of the reasons why Biafra failed during the Nigeria-Biafra War of 1967 to 1970 was sabotage. Once bitten, twice shy. How are you going to cure this cancer so that it will not replicate itself this time around?
That is why we are very truthful. There is one way to find out who a saboteur is that they cannot tolerate the truth. I liken them to vampires that doesn't want to see the light of day. they run away from the truth all the time. And we have remained very, very truthful. That is why from source we filter them away. So they cannot come close to contaminate what we are doing or to try to either to subvert or to divert our agenda or our motive, our principle, our philosophy, and our way of carrying out our activities. They cannot succeed. And where they succeed in coming into us, we have ways of dealing with them, but we prefer for them not to get close. And the method and the approaches we've adopted right now ensures that perpetually they will remain on the fringes, not to come in to threaten what we are doing.
Thank you very much. And that concludes the questions section of this broadcast with Radio Biafra. Now, are there any questions you wanted to invite the audience to participate in, or we're open for calls?
Of course, yes. They are free to ask questions. There are people here. We are in a town hall meeting in South Central Los Angeles, if I'm not mistaken. We are in Los Angeles in California, USA. They call it the land of the free, and we have come here to preach this very freedom. We have come here to preach it. And anybody is more than welcome to step forward to ask any questions if they have it, because our people are listening, and very, very shortly we shall open our lines to begin to take their calls. But right now we want to invite those of you that have something to say or a contribution to make to be able to do so. Please, you may have to use this because I want us to be able to feed right through. So the microphone is here. You can use this very one if you wish. You can use this very one, please. Very, very important that you do so. So it can be fed through. Very, very important. Yes.
Anybody who has a question, if they'd like to come up.
Is it? It can get to the ground, isn't it? Right, yes.
Yeah. Anybody who has...
Yes, if anyone has any questions to ask or any comments to make, you may not entirely agree with what we're saying. You're more than welcome to also raise any objection, if you hold any.
By the way, I will use this opportunity to recognize, I will call it our family friend, and also another indigenous group. I'm thanking him for coming here. This is the indigenous group of Zapatico in Mexico. This is a part of the Mayan Empire. Okay, there's another, there are indigenous group like us. They are fighting for their freedom. So I just want the director to recognize them
course,
for coming
yes.
down here. Yeah, thank you.
Please,
for coming.
Can they come forward and tell us, please, and exactly who they are? And they're indigenous people as well, isn't it? Very old people as us. Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen from Biafra. Days ago, we met with our brothers here that we're fighting for the same freedom in our country. I'm from Oaxaca, Mexico, the Central America. We are Native Americans. We consider ourselves as a Native American because we born in America. Our ancestors were here 1,000 years before. We speak our idiom, our language, our mother language. So we are fighting for our human rights for our indigenous people here and there. So I'm glad that I met you, all of you, that now we can work together as a team. Let the world know to respect our human rights, our language, the way that we live. So I recognize all of you that you're fighting for your liberty, for the equality. Thank you very much.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. We are live, for those who don't know, if you're joining us, and also direct. We are in a town hall meeting, not our usual format of broadcast because our people are here. But in the course of answering questions, of course, if anything becomes necessary or needful, we must preach it to you. Our people are here, some of them who are dedicated, who understand what it takes. I think that one of the difficulties we've had as a people is that we are not used to fighting. We have never actually, apart from 67 to 70, as a people collectively, we have not fought any wars before. Please go ahead.
Okay. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Demetrio. I'm from Oaxaca also, and I come with Señor Fidel. And I really appreciate all of you that take the time and to speak for our right. And we all coming together in this reunion, and I'm really glad to see all these faces. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you. You are free to ask any question.
Any question.
Doesn't matter. I can ask any question.
And also, our lines are open for those wishing to call us. Our lines are open.
Good afternoon.
It's ungodly hour back where we come from. The time back home, I presume, is about 2 a.m. in the morning. It's about 2 a.m. in the morning. But they are welcome also. The whole world, those of you who are listening, especially those in the United States of America, those of you in the USA, you are more than welcome to call in with any questions, any views, any opinions you may hold. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Director, and ladies and gentlemen. And what I want to say, my name is Ifani Anako. I'm actually on holiday.
Are you?
I'm actually on holiday here, and I always listen to our Radio Biafra. And this morning, I listened to you. I didn't know that you were around in LA.
That's very
so
good.
When I just heard it, I got the address and decided to come around.
Very good.
To tell you that what you're doing is something that we are proud of. And the important thing is that we have had so many groups championing this cause, but IPOB has done it differently. And this is what matters in this struggle. The only thing that I'm praying is that some of our young men back home will actually realize what they are doing. Most of the time I go through this our social media, you see our young men who call themselves Biafrans supporting Buhari in all the things he's doing. You can imagine that. Killing our people and doing a lot of things. You will see that we don't belong to Nigeria. The country Nigeria, we don't. From all the things that has happened since he assumed office shows that we don't belong. So we need to actually fight this thing and get ourselves back to shape. Because we can survive. Biafra will survive.
You see?
Because we have all it takes to survive as a nation. So I don't think we need Nigeria to survive. So I just want to thank you, our director, and all the coordinators that has been handling this. I'm assuring you people that, God willing, we will be able to convince some of those doubting Thomases. And if they refuse, by the time Biafra comes,
they will not.
It will be difficult for them to flow in. Thank you very much. I wish you all good luck. And we will still carry the message back home when we are leaving, because I will be leaving on Monday.
Monday.
I pray
and
that
do you
we
live?
Will succeed.
Where do you live?
I live in Enugu.
In Enugu. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
He was listening from Enugu and all, and now he's listening from here. Can you come and turn this thing
thank
around?
Thank you, one moment. Let me retry the mic.
Please come and turn this around. And to make sure that it's okay, because it's traveling too far. Can you pull it, please? Try and pull it whilst we go to the line to see who is there. I have a caller on the phone. Can you hear me? The caller on the phone, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Thank you very much. Please give us your name and where you're calling from.
Oh, my name is MC Amaki. Or Chima Amaki. I'm calling from Baltimore, Maryland.
Sorry, you're calling from where?
I'm calling from Baltimore, Maryland.
From Baltimore. Thank you very much. We are here and the whole world is listening. You may go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just coming to put in my appreciation and to thank the director and to our people. So I must say that what has happened in Onitsha is quite an, it's a total abuse of the rule of law and abuse of the human rights of 1999 and Nigerian Constitution. A law who made the abuse.
I don't know why we cannot hear you very well. Please, I do recommend you try and call us back. That was a caller from Baltimore. They killed our people. I don't know how many of you here know that we were killed only on Sunday, the 30th of August. People came out to evangelize. The same way we were given CDs today, and they were shot to death in Onitsha. They were not armed. They were not righteous. They were not doing anything. All they did was to come out to try to preach this very gospel, to tell people about Biafra, and they were shot to death at the orders of the president, or should I say the dictator of the zoo called Nigeria, Muhammadu Buhari. Very, very sad indeed. Let's go to the line to see who is there. The caller on the phone, can you hear me?
Good evening, Dara.
Good evening. What is your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Chijioke Madoka.
Chijioke Madoka, where are you calling from?
New York.
From New York. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my director, before I start, I thank Chukwu Obiama for making it possible for you to travel from New York to Cali, California.
Thank
you so much for what you are doing for people of Biafra. I can't thank you much, Director. Director, I want to, cast our mind back. This happened like 6 years ago. When Yar'Adua was president and he passed away, but BBC arranged a different person as Yar'Adua and interviewed the person. The person was like, I'm saying that I thanked the whole Nigeria throughout his stay in the hospital that he can't wait to, come back and take his job.
Yes.
But whereas Yar'Adua is already dead. This is why I so much believe that Nigeria, they are baboon or monkey, because nobody asks questions. Even the so-called the senators or the House of the representatives, nobody asks questions. So, Director, that one is, it's one of the things I want to. If we want to, I would like Radio Biafra to go and, verify this thing I'm saying now.
But what you're saying is correct.
This happened about 6 years ago.
What you are saying is correct, and thank you for calling. That is what some people do not know nor appreciate, is the level of criminality and fraud in Nigeria is second to none anywhere in the world. Absolutely every strata of society, every aspect of governance is drowning in unimaginable fraud and corruption. Everybody there is a criminal. If you answer to a Nigerian, that is precisely what it means. That you do not appreciate nor accept any decency whatsoever regarding who you are and regarding your existence on this very earth. That is why we preach this very gospel the way that we preach it. That is why we speak the truth. And that is why the truth must prevail. Very, very important indeed. If you want to speak, you are more than welcome to come forward to speak. Please, if you want to do so, you are more than welcome to come forward to speak. Let's take this very call. The caller on the phone, can you hear me? The caller on the phone, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I can.
No. The caller on the phone, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, sir. I can hear you.
Thank you very much. Please, what is your name and where are you calling from?
Good morning, sir. My director.
Good evening to you from here.
Good morning, sir.
Sorry, what is your name?
My name is Chidebere Dr. I'm calling from Onitsha, Anambra State, Biafra Land.
From Onitsha in Anambra State, where they killed us only on the 30th of August. Please go ahead. We are listening. Go ahead.
Hello, sir.
Yes, sir. We can hear you. Go ahead. I don't think they can. It could be not even a simple telephone call is simple anymore, because in that very place, things are very, very terrible. Someone wanted to speak. Please come forward and do so. We are in a town hall meeting in Los Angeles, California. Please go ahead.
All hail Biafra.
All hail Biafra.
Biafra.
Freedom.
Freedom.
Biafra.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Dr. Kenechukwu Ekufu. I hail from Inye, in Ojiriva, local government area in Biafra land. I came today from Chicago to witness this event. And I brought a special gift for the director, our leader. But before I present my gift to him, I want to make a few comments. I get into this struggle because I know that it's the right thing to do. We need our people to be free. So many of my friends are asking me, why are you getting yourself into this kind of, why are you getting yourself into Biafran struggle? I told them that it's the right thing to do. And when they tell me, be careful, I said, there's nothing to be careful about. I have the right to agitate for my freedom. I have the right to ask for our people to be freed. We are not free in Nigeria, in the zoo. My people are not free, and we want them to be. I want them to be free. Some of us that are here in diaspora, especially here in the United States, we're enjoying good life. We're enjoying well-developed streets. We're enjoying electricity 24 hours, 365 days a year. But the back home, our people are suffering. I'm not happy about it, and not many of us are happy about it. So that's why I joined this struggle. This struggle is all about freedom. People have rights to struggle for their freedom, to ask to be free. So I hereby call on Biafrans and friends of Biafrans all over the world, especially in Chicago, where I am the coordinator, to join this movement. Some people see it as a war. Biafra is not synonymous with war. It's freedom. We need our freedom. That is my first comment. So if you are a lover of freedom, please come and join us. I wrote an article, which I also brought here today, which I would like our deputy COC and the director to look at. This article, I intend for this for it to go to all the U.S. senators, U.S. House of Reps, and lovers of freedom all over the world, world leaders, once it is approved. That is number one. Number two is, it makes me sad when I hear that Hausa people are in our villages, killing our people. I get calls. They take their cattle and they carry AK-47, and they go to our villages and kill our parents and our brothers and sisters. When you ask them a question, why do you allow your cattle to eat all our farm plants, they will shoot you and kill you. So what kind of people are able to do that? Don't they have human hearts? Don't they think like humans? How would you expect a family or an elderly parents to feed when you take your cattle and go and eat up all the things they have in their farm? And when they talk, you kill them. We are not supposed to be with that kind of people. We are different. So that's my call on that. And my suggestion on that is that we have to empower our people back home to defend ourselves. That is my decision, my suggestion on that.
Very important.
Then my last comment, which is, Director, one day I was listening to the radio. I started listening to Radio Biafra in April this year. I never knew that there was something like Radio Biafra. I was searching for radio to listen to at work. I saw Radio Biafra in my, I said, what? Radio Biafra? I started listening to it. And since that day, I never listened to any other radio station up till today. And I get involved. One day is the microphone working?
Of course it is, yes. Go ahead. I'm listening. I'm hearing you.
I listened to your broadcast where you said there was something posted on Facebook about the governor of Illinois giving a proclamation to Biafra.
That's correct.
Yes, I made that happen. There was a Biafran veteran that lived in Illinois. He was a Biafran veteran. He was an officer of a Biafran army. His son works with the governor's office in Illinois. So his son propagated our message to the governor, and he issued a proclamation on Biafra.
Very good.
So,
very, very good.
Because I was the chief servant of our people in Illinois, in Chicago, I was handed the original document.
Do you have
so
it?
I have the original, and I made you a photocopy.
Wonderful.
So, if you will permit me, it will take me 1 minute to read the proclamation.
Please go ahead.
Proclamation.
Yeah, of course, read it. Go ahead and read it.
State of Illinois, Executive Department, Proclamation. Whereas the Biafran War was a tragic conflict between the Republic of Nigeria and the Republic of Biafra from May 30, 1967 to January 15, 1970. And whereas during this and time in history, 3.5 million Biafrans were murdered, displaced, and forced into grievance, oppression for economic, ethnic, cultural, religious, and national reasons. And whereas the history of the Biafran War offers an opportunity to reflect on the moral responsibilities of our individuals, societies, and governments, and whereas the people of the state of Illinois should always remember the terrible events of the Biafran War and remain vigilant against hatred, persecution, and tyranny, in addition, we should actively rededicate ourselves to the principles of peace, prosperity, and individual freedom in a just society. Whereas a day of remembrance has been set aside for the people of the state of Illinois to remember the victims of the Biafra War, as well as to reflect on the need for respecting all people, whereas on December 20, as well as on the day of remembrance, May 30th, and on every other day each year, it is important that we remember those who suffered as a result of the Biafra War. And therefore, I, Pat Quinn, Governor of the State of Illinois, do hereby proclaim December 20, 2014 as Biafran Day of Remembrance in Illinois, in memory of the victims of the Biafran War and in honor of the survivors, as well as the rescuers and liberators, and urge all citizens to collectively and individually strive to overcome bigotry, hatred, and indifference through learning, tolerance, and remembrance. In witness whereof, I have hereunder set my hand and caused the great seal of the state of Illinois to be affixed, done at the Capitol in the city of Springfield, this 18th day of December, in the year of our Lord, 2014, and of the state of Illinois, 196. Pat Governor Pat Quinn. Signed, Secretary of State, Jesse White. Thank you. Biafrans.
Wonderful. That is wonderful. That is wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Sometimes I wish that people can be as hardworking as that. I wish they can be. Please go ahead.
Also, I have an IPOB member in Chicago who is a musician. Have requested me to donate a CD, Biafran songs.
Very good.
This young man sang Biafran national anthem the day we did a memorial service for our fallen general. He came by Odumegwu Ojukwu.
Wonderful.
We did a big funeral for him in Chicago, and this guy sang our Biafran song and national anthem. So I'm also presenting this gift to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Very well. Thank you very, very much. This is Radio Biafra. We are live and direct in a town hall meeting. One second. I will, of course, thank you very much. Is that it? Thank you very much. Give it to one another. Thank you very, very much. Thank you. At least I will have that laminated and framed and put somewhere to signify what can be accomplished with hard work. Thank you very much for the work you've done in the state of Illinois, which is Chicago, isn't it?
Yes.
That's Chicago. Yes. Thank you very much. Let's go and take this call. The caller on the phone, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Thank you very much. Give us your name and where you are, please.
My name's Chima. I'm in Baltimore.
From Baltimore. Please go ahead.
A lawyer by profession.
You're a lawyer by profession. Please go ahead. The world is listening. Yes. So also are those here in Los Angeles. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm calling state and ensure that, first of all, to thank you and to congratulate you in this movement area. It has been my dream. And today, since you have it, I will do all my best to keep the candlelight glowing. And to say that humanity is a total outcry in a country where there is lawlessness, it is illegal to be law-abiding. That what they did is a total abuse of the rule of law, total abuse of the principles of fundamental human rights, that every person shall be entitled to his personal liberty. Every person shall be entitled to movement, free demonstration, to say what you like and what you do not like. It is a law that enshrines to us under the natural law that is totally non-negotiable. And what the police did, or the people that instructed the police to do what they did, I wish they can go through the police act of the Nigerian Police Act. They will be able to understand that they have gone contrary to the rules and regulations stipulating that country's police act. They have acted in excess of their authority. And thereby, they have given room to lawlessness in that country. They do not expect us to be law abiding to them. For he who goes to equity goes with clean hands. We shall do all we can to mourn the dead and to respect them. Please, Director, I want to make one clear. My appeal is take the dead bodies of those people, of those our IPOB members that are concerned, take it to the government house. While taking it to them, we congratulate the governor. Pass our message to the governor and to the president that we are bringing these dead bodies to them in order to congratulate them in Kadik. While we retaliate for the best way to give them a befitting barrier is to create an action that will be placed there. For a man who has been pushed to the wall, has been given the mandate to retaliate. Thank you, my director. Thank you for defending the principles of the rule of law. Thank you for making us to know that under the fundamental human rights, we have to the right to say no when our rights and privileges were abused. The people who have abused our rights and privileges, they have told us indirectly and impliedly by action that they do not have anything good for us. Therefore, we should try to be in our own home. Where the freedoms will be respected. Where the feelings of the common man will be respected. Where everybody will be treated equal before the law. Where there is equity. Where there is fairness. Mr. Director, thank you. And I want to also say that Biafra, we have every right to have our home. Whenever we wear the T-shirt of Biafra, it reminds us of something, that we have lost some people in this struggle. That some people were in this struggle. And it is in our process to remember our death. Nobody can from exercising the will of our culture of remembrance.
and there is no limit of time or number of periods that man can remember his own death. We can decide to remember our dead people 1 million times by marching on the streets, making movements, remembering them in order to appease their spirits that we are unjustly denied from them. Thank you, Mr. Director. I will always be my support in this, in whichever means it is. And therefore, I'm also calling other lawyers, all IPOB, all Igbo lawyers, residents here in the United States and in other countries, for them to have a common goal. Mr. Director, I want you to look into this. So most of this abuse, most of this neglect can be fought through the legal means, through the people available to have our freedom. I'm so glad to have you here, and I'm glad to speak to you. Thank you, and all the people you do. What you have done is a good job. May God be with you all.
Isse, and also with you. Thank you very, very much. Who else has something to say from here before we proceed to closure of course? Please go ahead. Go ahead.
Yes, good evening, Director. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Innocent Maramu Gochuku. I hail from Umuekwemgudi in Biafra land, but I lived in Dallas, Texas. I am, by the grace of God, the North American National Rep. I want to use this opportunity to tell the whole world that we are the indigenous people of Biafra. We are here in California in town hall meeting, try to propagate this freedom of our people, the rights of a human, the rights of individual, to let the whole world know that the people of Biafra, we are human beings and we need our freedom. The marriage of Biafrans and Nigeria has expired since 2014. And now we're asking the whole world to step up. When you mention human rights, I hope it should be for everybody to have their right of freedom, the right to live. Not some people has the right, some doesn't have the right. And living with the pedophile as a president in that country called Nigeria, it is a sin, it's a death, because my people is dying every day. Of last 2 or 3 weeks ago, that's how they be clean us, and they continue clean us. We are a children of Chukwu Abiamai. We are human beings. We are not animal that you can wake up in the morning, you will feel like you want to kill them. That is enough, is enough. And the killings has gone from time immemorial, and it's not going to stop. The only thing we ask is for us to stand up, all people all over the world, to stand up and support this, our quest to have our freedom. I am this time asking and telling all the Biafrans all over the world, especially here in the USA, people from Dallas, Texas, California, New York, North Carolina, wherever you are, please go and join their nearest family in this country, because to get Biafra, we all have to put our hands and put our health, our blood, and our everything we have to support the struggle so that we have to go home as soon as possible. Thank you, my people, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much. This is our Igbo Continental Rep. Our Igbo Continental Rep. His name is Ugochukwu Maram. He's in charge of North American continent, you know, which is Canada, Quebec, and U.S. He came all the way from Dallas to be with us. I'll use this opportunity to kind of give some information. If you're calling in U.S., if you're calling in U.S., U.S. only, to call Radio Biafra, this is the number to dial. 631-949-9000. 0853-631-949-0853. If you are calling from the zoo or from Biafra land, you have two numbers to call. The numbers are 0817-381-3596. 0817-381-3596. The next number is 0817-244-1079. That's in Biafra land. Again, 0817-244-1079. And we have some local numbers here to call. In US, or rather in Los Angeles area. The name is the Zonal Coordinator for Los Angeles. Zonal Coordinator for Los Angeles, Nze Aji, Nze Godwin Aji. His phone number is 323-717-7705. 323-717-7705. Then the National Coordinator for US, National Coordinator for US, Mazi Obienu. His number is 310-415-8723. 310-415-8723. Then you can contact me, Ikenna Wanunenyi, the Deputy Coordinator of Coordinators and the Mobilization Officer. The number is 323-717-4222. 323-717-4222. If you want to form any family assembly, if you want to join us in any part of the world, you give me a call. You do not need any permission to form an assembly. You only need two or more to form an assembly. So if you want to form an assembly, if you have any questions whatsoever, or if you are having difficulty reaching a director, you know, call me at this number, 323-717-4222. We are broadcasting live here for people who just came back from work. We are broadcasting live here at Hall of Scientology at 8039 South Vermont Avenue. 8039 South Vermont Avenue. It's at the corner of Vermont and 81st Street. We're going to have another broadcast and town hall meeting on September 6th. The same location. We're going to have another town hall meeting. It's a second chance for you to come over here to come and talk to the director and ask any questions you want. It's going to be on September 6th at same location. 8039 South Vermont Avenue. Cross Street is 81st Street. Zip code is 90044. So we're requesting all the family friends, Biafrans, non-Biafrans, friends, enemies, to come down at this location on 6th to ask any questions you want. Bring papers and pen. So, director, by the way, I just want to make a comment on this. This was brought by Dr. Kelechi Ekufu. He doesn't want to be called a doctor. He's a PhD. This is from the state of Illinois. People who say we're not doing anything. This is state of Illinois. The governor signed this. It's a proclamation.
Of course.
Proclamation. State of Illinois.
They've done very well.
And this is wonderful. It says on the December 20th of every December 20th is declared as Biafra Day of Remembrance in state of Illinois by Governor Pat Quinn.
So does it mean this is ongoing, is it?
Yes.
Or just one off?
No, it's ongoing. It's ongoing.
Every year. 20th of December.
So people who think we are not doing anything, we are doing something. This is Governor of Illinois. Former governor of Illinois. He's established this proclamation for Biafra, Remembrance Day.
So, but we hope the new one will not change it. Yes. The new governor will.
So we are still fielding some questions. If anybody who wants to ask questions.
Yeah,
and by the way, to let you know, everything we are saying here is being transmitted throughout the whole world.
It is live.
This is live. This is Radio Biafra. This is Radio Biafra. It goes from here, goes to internet, and goes to any part of the world you want.
Including radio in Biafra.
To any radio,
our
to
FM
anywhere,
stations
you know,
are talking.
You know, we have five formats, you know, to transmit. If you have any question, you know, you can come down. Okay, thank you, my brother.
Good afternoon. My name is Godier Ruchalo. I'm from Nobi in Idemili local government of Biafra land. I came from Las Vegas, Nevada, for this special occasion today. I want to take this opportunity to thank the director for having the courage to travel all the way from Biafra land, you know, to the United States to broadcast this event today.
Thank you.
We are very courageous people, and we are fighting for our freedom. Anyone who has been involved into a freedom struggle know exactly what it takes. I'm a former United States soldier. I was in the United States Army, now retired. We fought numerous wars in this country for the sake of freedom of other people. And life is very precious. I started having interest in Biafra land way back when I was in Nigeria, the so-called Nigeria now expired after 100 years of amalgamation. I was the founder of Manowar Bay in Biafra land in 16 Ozobolo. I was also one of the coordinators that established Manowar Bay in Ihiala, Newi, and Idemili local government. If you went to school in Zistin High School or Zobolo, back in the day it was called Zistin Grammar School, you will remember me. I was the founder of Manowar Bay in Zistin or Zobolo. I'm originally from Nobi in Biafra land. And I hope some of you guys that happen to be with me in Manowar Bay, establishing Manowar in the whole high schools within the Newi, Ihiala, and the Idemili local government. If you haven't had the opportunity to join IPOB, please do so. Manowar Bay is a military type of organization. We wear military uniform in Nigeria, khaki, green and green, and we are civilian military type, and our duty was just to secure Biafra land back in the day. And that's 35 years ago. So if you know what I mean, you know how long it's been for some of us that's been in the United States here. We fought numerous wars here in America and outside America, representing the freedom when I was in the military with the United States Army. And we had that opportunity because it was the right thing to do. We don't chicken out when there is war to be fought to defend humanity, because it's a very important thing to defend the lives of people. The Nigerian government per se take those for granted, which is not right, because they think everybody, we are afraid of them. I want to make this very clear to them that we are not afraid of Nigeria. we're not afraid of the Nigerian government. If I can have the courage to fight wars all over the world in defense of humanity with the United States Army, the greatest fighting force in the world, Nigeria will be less assured that when time comes for us to fight war in Nigeria, it will be very devastating. Mark my word on that. Now, let's be clear. The time for abuse is coming to an end in Nigeria, and Biafra land will be secured, and we will have our sovereign state of Biafra, whether Nigeria likes it or not. We that happen to be in the military, we are very, we are disciplined professional military organization here in the United States. We don't like to talk too much. We usually do things that people see with their naked eyes. Back in Nigeria, they use the military to, intimidate people collecting money on the roads. That's not what the military does. Military belongs in the barracks, and the police supposed to police the state. Unfortunately, they failed to do that. But that is going to come to an end pretty soon because we have our interests to defend. We have our people to defend. We have our natural resources, which is oil and gas, to defend. And we have Biafra land to defend. And please, let me take this opportunity to make an announcement. I'm also the coordinator for the Southern Nevada IPOB. Southern Nevada IPOB involve the Henderson, the Las Vegas, the Pahrump, and the Boulder City. So if you happen to be within the Nevada area and you want to join IPOB, please contact me as soon as possible. Most people that happen to be in Las Vegas know who I am. I was the original person who helped to find what we have as NALV in Nigeria. I was actually the vice president of NALV back in 1998. Unfortunately, we wanted to bring one organization. That is, NALV in Las Vegas was the only organization in the United States that had everyone involved. Whether you are Hausa, whether you are Yoruba, whether you are Benin, it doesn't matter. We wanted to have one family. Unfortunately, things got out of hand many years ago, and I decided to focus on more important thing that I have to do. But today, when I left, a lot of people left with me. So now, today, the organization is not functioning in the proper way it's supposed to function. It's actually many people from different African countries actually running the organization right now, which is very shameful. Because whenever we Nigerians, we Biafrans, or even Nigerian, aspired Nigeria per se, want to do things, we never really put any effort into it. We just wanted to do it because we feel like doing it. That is why whatever we do never materializes into anything. If we remain focused, we can get things accomplished. A lot of us here in the United States, you are afraid that because you think that when you fight a war, that you will lose. You don't fight war to lose. You fight war to win. And my prime example of that, that had fought wars here within the United States Army and lived to talk about it. Our people are suffering. Whether we fight or not, people will be dying. All we need to do is to be able to create an opportunity where people will have hope, where they can be able to live and then be productive in their lives. United States had fought 16 wars since Vietnam War, which they lost. They can't say because they lost in Vietnam War, they cannot fight war. They've been fighting war. Even since 2000, they've already fought 6 wars all around the world, just within this 2000 the other day. So that shows you that war is something that is necessary if you have to defend the lives and freedom of the people. And Director, before I close, let me take this opportunity to thank you for taking your time to come here to be with us today. We really appreciate everything that you are doing for the people in Biafra land.
Thank you very much.
And may Chukwu Abiyama continue to bless you, give you the aid, the guidance, and the protection that you need as you continue to lead us to our God-given, heavenly, promised land, if I may say.
Yes, sir.
And may God help and each and every one of you, both people that are here in the hall, and people all over the world and in Biafra land, each and every one of you, whatever you are doing, may God give you, Chukwu Abiyama, God, Englishman's God, as we know it,
yes,
give you the opportunity to accomplish whatever you need to accomplish. Yes, thank you, Director, and thank you, the IPOB family all over the world.
Yes, thank you very much. All the way from Las Vegas, I'll come to you in a second. I have somebody on the line. The caller on the phone, can you hear me?
Yes, good evening, Director.
And good evening also from here, from Los Angeles. Please, your name and where you are.
I'm Dr. Churchill, calling all the way from Jamaica.
Dr. Churchill from Jamaica. You're calling us from Jamaica?
Yes, Director.
Thank you very much. Please go ahead.
First of all, Director, I want to thank you immensely for all the great work you have been doing for us, the people, indigenous people of Biafra. I want to also commend all the Biafrans all over the world for their immense contribution and sacrifice towards making sure that the sovereignty of the Biafran state is realized. I have pertinent things that have been worrying my mind since August 30th, the incident that happened in Onitsha. It's very, very, first of all, I want to recognize the death of all of our heroes, members of people of Biafra who lost their life that day, and I pray that the tribunal will accept their soul in its bosom and give them eternal rest. And also pray that their death will be in vain, and this is a stepping stone towards the realization of the state of Biafra. Principally, I want to make some important observation. As we show here, this is my own personal observation. It's very, very disturbing and painful that the governor of the state, Governor Biano, this is about the incident happened, and he has never met any oppressed interview as regards to this. It is very, very painful. I remember on the election day that brought me power, how we, the indigenous people of Biafra, my own personal in person, were calling home and telling people not to vote APC in the game and to vote him in power. And all the efforts of the rest of Biafra brought him in power. And it's so painful that such a thing like this will happen in his state where he is a security officer and nothing has been done.
My dear brother, hold on a second. I don't know what is wrong with your line. I have no idea. I don't know if our line is being deliberately tampered with, but we appreciate what you're saying and we accept it totally. This very radio station, in conjunction with Biafrans all over the world, campaigned to keep APC out of Anambra, because Anambra is the first son of the entire Biafra land. They are number one. We fought very hard to make sure APC didn't get in, and Obiano is there. Our people, we are shot dead on the 30th of August. He has not made one single statement or comment up until now. The longer he continues to keep silent, the more we begin to firm up our resolve and believe that he has a hand in it. And if he has a hand in the death of our people, may Chukwu Abiama bless him, because he's in very serious trouble, I tell you. If you know where he is, he must either come out to say that he was part of it, that he connived with Buhari to kill defenseless people a few days ago, or that he's innocent. Because we need him to speak. He is the chief executive, or should I say, the chief security officer of that very state. And we hold him responsible. We want to know who gave the order for police to shoot unarmed civilians who we are going about their lawful duty to exercise their rights to freely associate and the right to actually speak what is on their mind. We want to know who gave the order. Was it Obiano that sanctioned the order given by Buhari to shoot unarmed people on the street? That is what we want to know, and that is exactly what we are going to find out in time to come. We are going to be closing this very program at the top of the hour. If you are here, people are calling us from all over the world. I don't quite trust the lines anymore because they're a bit shaky and a bit wobbly. I will devote the rest of the time we're going to be here to those of you here assembled in this very hall to ask any question and also to speak your mind. You're more than welcome to do so. I want you to come forward and pick up the microphone and then say what you have to say. Or ask any question if you have to, please. Go ahead. Go ahead, Doctor. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Good evening, Director, and good evening to my fellow Biafrans. My name is Dr. Ogwo, Dr. Christian Ogwo. I've been keeping quiet for a while now, but I really talk for a living, so I can talk too much. I just want to focus on our brothers and sisters, Biafrans, in the Los Angeles area. It's unfortunate that we have so many empty seats. I was expecting these seats to be filled by Biafrans. I mean, if all Biafrans in the Los Angeles area come out here, I mean, you will see that we could just bring Biafra by ourselves. We are so many. We are many in the Los Angeles area. And we can make a lot of waves. But how many of us are here today? It's very shameful. There's going to be another town hall meeting on the 6th. If you are a Biafran, and you call yourself a Biafran, and you live in the Los Angeles area, we need to see you here. It's the same venue, the same time. Please come here and ask, bring with you all those questions, all those things that you've been hearing about Radio Biafra that make you sleepless at night or that you probably resent or accept. Either way, bring them. The director is here to answer all your questions. But we cannot help you if you are not here. If you can't come and make yourself available and present and discuss the things that matter. It is not about mushroom organizations here and there. This is what matters. This is what matters as long as we are concerned, as long as we are the indigenous people of Biafra. This is what matters. It's not about the mushroom. I mean, name it. If this were a baby shower now, all of us would be here. If this were go and eat somewhere, all of us will be there. It's not that we crave to eat, but we want to gather. We want to gather. We want to gather with our people. Why are you not here as a Biafran? I need to see you here on the 6th of this month. Same venue, same time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. Thank you for that. He's a lecturer at a university where we were earlier for our program, our interview, and he did exceptionally well. We want all of you to deploy your skills and your talent. As we keep saying, I don't know why we don't have any shame. I'm not talking about African Americans. I'm talking about people who migrate from Africa to come to the United States of America. And after all those years, they learn nothing. Absolutely nothing, and I will preach this thing tomorrow before World Igbo Congress. I will tell them how shameful and disgraceful it is that people can come down to America. You attend very beautifully constructed, well-built universities. You could not go back home to replicate what you have enjoyed. Men and women built the facilities you're enjoying today. You are a human being. Why can't you do the same? Can't you admire the wonderful things they have built in this country and let us go back to our villages and replicate it? That is why you go to school. That is why you study. I went to a university today. They even told me it's not the largest that they have. Their football stadium, their soccer stadium, the whole of West Africa, they don't have anything like that. Did you hear what I said? Ordinary soccer stadium. What's the name of that school again? California West or whatever. California State University. Their football, their soccer pitch, the quality of it doesn't exist in West Africa. That is very, very disgraceful. Maybe we should campaign for America to stop people from migrating to this very country because we are not utilizing it. Japanese come here, they study, they go back, they build beautiful hi-fis, beautiful cars, beautiful cameras. People come here, the Indians come, they go back to develop the fastest growing software industry in the world. Every other part of you, Malaysians come here, Indonesians come here. People from Thailand, they come here to study. Do you know what they have in Thailand? Rice only. Only rice. I don't know if you've been to Thailand before. They are developed, I tell you. Africa is very backwards and very poor because we come to another man's land and we become very, very lazy. Very, very lazy, I tell you. I'm getting to the point where perhaps I'll begin to campaign for every African to be repatriated or to be banned from coming to this place. Because you're not using it. It's like being given money to invest. You fail to invest, it will be taken from you and given to somebody else. We have not learned anything. Because I don't know if it is intellectual, philosophical, laziness, I don't know what it is. But it's about time we tried to do something about our hopeless situation. You are in another man's land, believe it or not. Somebody else built it. Their ancestors suffered, their forefathers struggled to build an outstanding civilization. Why can't you do the same for your children? You saw the pictures on the wall a while ago on the video. Poverty-stricken little children starving in Africa. As an African, don't you feel ashamed of yourself looking at a child from Africa going without food? Unfortunately, it doesn't touch some of us. It doesn't touch us at all. Then we wait for a white man or a white woman to remind you that children are starving in Africa. And you're black. It's amazing. That is why they say that our views are sometimes extreme. And I say it has to be because our stupidity is extreme. It requires extreme views to try and correct it. We are very, very lazy. I don't like it. That is why we are craving and praying for Biafra to come. That we can show mankind what we are capable of. Not in competition, but of course complementary. I don't want to see pictures of starving children from Africa. That was why I went to school. To stop starvation. To stop poverty. To eradicate homelessness. That is why we go to school. Not to perpetuate it. That is why there is a great responsibility to be shouldered by those of you in the USA. For far too long, you've had it so easy. You need to come out and help those who are less fortunate than yourselves. You must rise up and do the needful. That thing is to help those who are less fortunate. That's what we believe in. I could have stayed in England and had a very good life. My wife is very beautiful. I don't need to go to work in the morning. I can just phone in sick if I don't want to. But we do what we do for posterity, for honor, for dignity's sake. That is why you're a human being. To restore dignity, to add dignity to life. That was why white people went to war to fight white people to set black slaves free. Out of dignity and respect for human worth. Why can't you, as black Africans, do the same for those who are less fortunate? Sometimes you wonder why Africa is so poor. Africa is poor because we are wicked. Africa is poor because we don't care about the things that actually matter, which is human life. That is why we preach this gospel the way we do. Some may not like it, but it's the truth. If you have come to America and your village is still like your village when you left it, you are useless to your community. You are worthless. You have come here to learn. Let us take that learning back home and try to build a very courageous, a very vibrant economy in Biafra land that the whole world will be proud of because we have hands and we have legs. Thank you. Who has something to say? Does anyone else have? Our COC is here. He has not said anything. Of course, yes, you may. Give him the microphone, please.
Good evening, Director.
Good evening to you, Madam.
Good evening, Biafrans. Yes, the question I want to ask, Director, particularly this question is for you. I have been listening to your broadcast. I can say I'm addicted to it. 3 months ago, somebody gave me that number, said, call this number. This is Radio Biafra. I thought he was joking. This is an American number. He said, but this is an Iowa number. He said, call it. You will hear Biafran news. I'd heard to what he told me. I put on the number, and I heard their voice. So since then, both day, night, evening, morning, every day I've been listening to this broadcast. Sometime my wife snatched my phone from me, threw it away. I will run toward her and pick it up again and put it on my ear. So today, I decided to join the IPOB, but there's something left.
Go ahead.
I promise I will complete it, pay all my dues, and become a full member. Because the first day I heard their voice, what attracted me mostly is that I'm an ex-Nigerian policeman. I served the police for 17 years before I came here.
You didn't kill anybody protesting. Did you shoot at anybody who was going about?
Nothing? I did not.
Good.
When I was in the police wasn't the way it was today. We had a heart. We had a conscience. All we are doing, we had a heart and conscience. We don't maltreat people. That's why I left to study here. I came here to study, further my study, before I was stopped. But what interested me about Biafra is that the way the Northerners and the Yorubas regard our people, regard our Igbos. They don't regard us as a human being. There was a time I was in a police college, they called me rebel. Oh, you rebels from the Ojukwu War. They don't regard us as something. They think, these people are the people that they made up the numbers. They think that we came to make up the numbers. They don't even think we are Nigerians. So when I came here, I've been thinking what to do about this situation. But I've been praying. What foremost to me is I've been praying since the end of the war. That why are we left alone? Why can't God one day help us to bring a Messiah? Because I've been reading the Bible. At the time, Moses came from nowhere and helped the Israelites, rescued the Jews. But I said, why is it that Igbos have been left alone in Nigeria? We have no help. We fought the war. The British sabotage us, kill our people. Americans did not come to our rescue. We have no country that will come to our rescue. We die, our children die, suffer for Kwashioka, suffer for all illness. Now the war ended. This 21st century, we still suffering the same fate. No help from anywhere. So when this news of this Radio Biafra came up, I opened this news. I listened to this young man. I saw him on I had a big television. How's all channel? My children put a YouTube for me. I listened. I said, is it this young man that's on this radio? They say, yes, Nnamdi Kanu. I went to this number 713 and listened to this news. I become addicted to it. I said, maybe God has rescued us. Maybe God has given us that all I have been asking for all these years. The Moses, who will come and rescue us and bring us out of this mess we are in, called Nigeria. Zoo. I worked for 17 years, no pension. I went home, all my records have been removed from the system.
Have they?
They took away my system, my files. They said, the police station I served the last. There's a fire incident. Everything was burnt. I said, what kind of police station is this? All areas I went to, police headquarters, Abuja, went everywhere. with all the helps, all the people, even this Okilo, who helped me, but still, nothing came out right. Because of corruption, because of bad governance, because of bad people. And even from there, they're even asking me money, demanding money from me to
find
search
your
for my records.
To look for your
I would spend a lot of money to search people who went on errand searching for my records. But they didn't know
did
all
it?
The effort, but nothing. They couldn't find nothing. So I came home empty-handed. But I'm glad today that somebody like you, Nnamdi Kanu, is here. But I can say this, you have come here to rescue us. So I'm a supporter, 100% supporter of this cause. Whatever it takes us to get Biafra, to snatch it, because these people, the Northerners are people like holding us on the neck. They don't want us to go, because they know the truth for them. They know what we can do if we go. They don't want us to go. They hold us on the neck. But I can say that now that everything is open, our Chukwu Abiyama will see us through.
You see?
Nnamdi Kanu, I am on your side. Whatever it takes to champion this cause, I'm there with you.
Thank you.
Another question I'm trying to ask you tonight is that over listening to your news, listening to your radio, I learned that you said Biafra comprises of people from Ijon, Igala, Urobo,
yes.
Ishakiri,
yes.
Ibanke, mm-hmm. all these other tribes yeah. surrounding us. Mm. But since this radio broadcast, I never hear from any of them showing interest or calling for this radio broadcast to show their interest or to ask questions as we all other people do. So can you explain to me why is that like that? Are they still interested with the cause of Biafra, or they just, what happened the other time, they sabotage us, they went back to Nigeria and be the people to bring the Nigerian troops into our place to capture us again. Is it the same? We're gonna be the same way? Are they in support of us for truth and for honesty?
Thank you very much. They are in total support of what we are doing. And also, there was no time that Ibibio sold out. This number two to Ojukwu was Philip Effiong. And I regard him more than most people serving at the front line. The only person I can possibly compare to him in terms of my admiration and respect is Timothy Onwuatuegwu. Apart from Timothy Onwuatuegwu, the next person for me is Philip Effiong, and he is not an Igbo man. They are very, very honorable people. What happened during the war, we must also understand that Ifeajuna is from Onitsha. He's an Igbo man. He betrayed his country as well. But because of that, we cannot condemn the whole of Onitsha people, can we? Nnamdi Azikiwe is from Onitsha. He took us into this mess we're in today. But that wouldn't mean that we'll condemn the whole of Onitsha people. That is not the case. They are very keen, perhaps when they call, you've not been listening. People call us from there, and they're very, very strong. Anybody who witnessed our bar on the 30th of May would know that we have people from everywhere. And during the burial of our brothers that were killed at Onitsha, you will see them. Because that day, there is no town or city that can contain us. We will call out millions of people in the world. We'll see how big we are. They are very, very keen and very, very interested. I spoke to a traditional ruler in Ogoja. He called me and said to me, our people were in his palace in Ogoja. He called and said, can you explain to me exactly why these people are in my house? He knew what he was doing. I explained to him. He said, why are you coming to us now? Have you finished preparing for Biafra and you're coming to us? Why did you not involve us from the beginning? I explained to him the reason why. And he accepted. If you go to Ogoja today, one of the strongest families we have, they want Biafra more than we do. Because now the scales have fallen off their eyes. They know Awasa has been lying to them all this. Oligo man is your problem. They now know we are not the problem. They now know that Awasa Fulani, including the Yoruba conspirators, are the problem. And they are looking forward to making amends. They knew what happened in the past and want to make up for it. So I believe very, very strongly in my heart of hearts that they will not let us down. Because they are part and parcel of the family. If they let us down, their children will also suffer. Are they having fun today? The answer is no. They are suffering even more than we do. We are all one people. As long as your mother ties two-piece wrapper, you're a Biafran.
There's another thing I'm highly concerned about. That was the superpowers, such as America and Britain. All the stories, since I was born, all the stories I've been hearing about is that how the British wanted to keep us at the backyard, make us second-hand citizens in the country our forefathers found. Because if you read the history of Nigeria, our brother, Dr. Nnamdi Azikiwe, founded Nigeria. He's a man who found Nigeria. Others like Nnamdi, Obafemi Awolowo and Tafawa Balewa and Ahmadu Bello, they are the subordinates. They are just joining later. He called them just like this, just like Nnamdi Kanu, championing the cause of Biafra. He called these people to join him up to form Nigeria, and they came back. And I wonder how can somebody who started the cause of Nigeria will be behind the person he called behind, who came join later, will be the person they handed over the government to. He become the ruler of Nigeria, and we become the second-hand citizen. So the question I'm asking now, as a result to is, how do we think that this superpower like America and Britain will help us to see the champion of this cause? Would they sabotage us again? That's what I'm afraid of. Do you think that they will let us have our freedom, have our independence? Or would they do the same thing they did in 1967, sabotage us and we become a victim again?
Yes, thank you very much. Who are the Americans, this superpower? Is it not this person here with the camera? And those that opened this hall and gave it to us. And those you see on the streets. Is that not correct? Are they not the Americans? Is Obama not going to leave office? What we need to do is to educate your average American on the streets to champion this cause for us. They will put pressure on their politicians. If you don't support Biafra, you will lose election. Very, very simple. We can make that happen. You see, if there is one thing I concede to in Western democracy is that a majority of the population at every material point in time is amenable to reason. Are you following the debate? Sorry to digress a bit, but I'm just trying to stress this very point. Have you seen the debate on refugees in Europe? The governments, they want to take the refugees. The people started calling phone-in programs on radio, saying you must take them. And what did they do? They took them because they don't want to lose election. They don't want to fail in office. That is what we need to. When we talk about superpowers, the world was in darkness. There was no radio Biafra broadcasting to the whole world. We were not on satellites. We didn't have our own television. We were not trending then as number one radio station in the world. We were in darkness. You broadcast from Okigwe. From there, you go to Lokpuku. You go to Lokpanta. You travel out to Owerri in one small beetle car. And that was it. Now the world is aware of what we are doing. By then, there was no Chicago to recognize the effort that we're making. But now the whole world is aware of what we're doing. People think that what we are doing is small. It's not small. It's our people who are small. The ideas we're propagating are very, very huge. The world is so developed that Britain, if they sell one bullet to the zoo, and we get the serial number as we are getting for the bullet they used to shoot at people, we sue the company that supplied it. They understand that very well. The world is far more a delicate place right now. And also the determination of our people. When we fought the war before, we lost. And the worst mistake we made was to go back to Nigerian politics. When you fight a war to survive as a people, you never dine with your enemies after that until you succeed. That was the mistake we made. Britain played their card because of colonialism. Richard Nixon acquiesced to the request of the British, but we did not mount any vociferous campaign. The Jewish Congress in America did their very level best to try to get us at least some measure of recognition. But we did not follow it up. We were not prepared to die. That was what happened. They killed us. They forced death upon us. We did not volunteer ourselves to die. Had we done so, they would have left us alone. So we did not cross the line. That was the problem. Anybody thinking that you can get freedom by wishing it, you are dreaming. Americans lost lives to defeat the British, to set America free. They lost men.
That's true.
Is that not correct?
That's true. That's correct.
Slavery. Did they not lose men in slavery? The war. They fought and men died. That is how life is. Before you, we are born. Many people had to die. Do you know that?
That's true.
Because as soon as you were fertilized, everything else had to die around you to allow you to survive, to give you a chance at survival. Why can't you do the same for people? That is the problem. Britain cannot prevail over us. Because, I need your Fojidogu, we have the moral imperative on our side. We were a people before Nigeria was created. Before 1900, there was no country called Nigeria.
Nigeria.
If life, as we know, we started from Africa, then it means that Africans never existed until the Europeans came. And that is a lie. It is that lie that we are attacking. No black African man formed Nigeria. Nigeria as a country only started to be governed by black people from 1960. What does the name Nigeria mean? It means nigger area. Nigger. Niger is the word nigger. It's nigger in Latin, Niger in English, Niger in French. Who wants to be called a nigger? Every time you say you're a Nigerian, you're saying you are a nigger from an area of niggers called Nigeria. That's the meaning of it. Nigeria. If you go to Germany, that's how they pronounce it. These are the things we are fighting morally, philosophically speaking, ideologically speaking. The case for Biafra is cast iron. It cannot be defeated. No matter what happens, Biafra will come. Because now we are prepared to sacrifice as many men as possible to ensure that Biafra comes. Because the alternative is death. So if I die trying to save my family, for them to live as free people, then we have done a very good deed indeed. That's what it is. It's all about. We will keep dying until Biafra comes. That is one thing they must understand. Not to underestimate how crazy we are about what we're looking for. Before we fought, we went back to Nigeria, 20 pounds. Oh, don't worry, everybody come back. Let's be one. Rubbish. This time we'll keep dying until Biafra comes. And then we go after our enemies. Because we've done nothing to them. I didn't know I was a Fulani people before. My father never knew them. My father is older than Nigeria. My grandfather never knew what Nigeria was. Now, can you tell me in this day and age how you can force people to be with other people? How is that possible? Even in America, states can make their own laws and be free of each other. In Africa, people are dictating to us who should be ruling you. That the president of America actively rigged somebody into office because he's Islamic. If not for Obama, there will be no Buhari in Nigeria. As simple as that is the truth.
That's true.
Is that your truth?
It's true.
Obama rigged him into office. Knowing fully well this man had no certificate. This man was a child rapist. Everybody knew that. In America, will you allow a child rapist to be your congressman?
No.
Or congresswoman?
No, at all.
A child rapist.
At all.
This is the type of people that Obama supported to be in power. People who came out openly to champion Sharia. Somebody who has blood on his hands. A certified terrorist. A whole United States of America. Is supporting the rigging into office of such men. The idiot came to America and made a mess of himself. Obama became embarrassed, abandoned him here and ran away. Has it ever happened before in America? A visiting head of state is abandoned by the host to travel abroad. Obama looked at the sorry state of this man and said, what a mess I have made. And left the idiot and traveled. If anybody thinks because they're a superpower, you can stop the coming of Biafra, then they better think twice. Anybody, any group of you, as long as you're willing to sacrifice as many lives as possible, you get what you want. That's the history of the world from the time immemorial. That was how Vietnam won. Vietnamese, we are prepared to die. America recognized it and said, no, we've had enough. Let's go. This is our land anyway. They left. Once we are prepared to die, then Biafra will come. But if we begin to value life over our freedom, then we don't deserve it. We do not deserve it. This time around, we will die. This time around, Biafra will come. You take it or you leave. We're not begging. Are we begging people? I've not come to America to beg anybody. I tell you the truth. The worst thing that will happen is that you will die here, you'll be buried here. And rightfully so. But for those of us who are born in Biafra, that's where we will die. That's where we'll be buried. That in our next life, we'll come back there as well. It doesn't sound like that. So don't be mistaken.
Finally, Director, thank you for your effort. Thank you for all you have been doing for we Biafrans. We are solidly behind you. No going back until Biafra comes. Thank you.
You see? Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. We are moving to closure. We have overstayed, actually. We have overstayed. Obide Bienu, very, very quickly, I pray you, please, go ahead.
Very quickly, I don't waste time. Thank you, everyone who is gathered here this evening. Thank you. What's the name of the lady that gave us this hall? I just want to thank the proprietors of this hall, Monica Polo, and the proprietors of this premises. I just want to say thank you, guys, for the help. I just want to reemphasize that what we are doing is not illegal. And as such, we cannot be afraid to doing what we're doing. I grew up in a village. I used to fetch the local stream. And this stream is it has a very high current. If you get in that stream, it can take you away. And as I was growing up, I learned that if you jump in this water and you are drowning, if you don't cry with water filling your mouth, nobody will know that you are drowning. And such, the stream will take you away. Many children died like that. But if you are drowning and you are crying out, people will know that you are drowning. And I use that analogy to bring to you what we're doing. America is America. America cannot begin to sniffle around to find out where are Biafrans, what's going on with Biafrans, how can we help Biafrans, if Biafrans did not let Americans know what we're going through. Therefore, it's imperative that every Biafran will come out. Wherever you may be hiding this evening, we found some of them in the hotel where I got to pick you up. Some of them were just, on seeing Biafra alone, they chill because of the fear that has been instilled in our people for so many years. So, I want to tell you that if you don't shout, if you don't call, if you don't call for help, nobody is going to help you. That's what I want to emphasize. But the moment you keep hitting it, the moment you keep telling people about your cause, they will listen. Director says something that we never take any good thing back home and shame unto us. And I said to director, I'm not going to take that shame because I'm willing to do something. But the problem is that the zoo will not allow you to do something. Of course, each and every one of us that are gathered here know that we are handed over to be ruled by a blind man. It's like a blind man leading someone who sees. You showing the path, and a blind man is doing whatever they want to do. Few days ago in Guatemala, the president embezzled just $700 million. And the people got to the streets. And right now, the president is on the run. In the zoo called Nigeria, billions of dollars, trillions of dollars are siphoned away to European banks, American banks, and everybody's keeping quiet. And if you say something, the British, who has been holding us because we are in the hands of the clutches of darkness, they will say, kill them. And then they will kill us. And everybody will run inside the house. I do want to let them know one thing, that we are here to get Biafra or we die. Simple. That's all I want to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much.
We are going to meet here again. Our hosts are very, very kind. They're going to allow us to use here again on 6th of September, September 6th, Sunday. So we've exhausted our time. 4 p.m. to 7, or 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. So we're going to gather here again, and we really thank them immensely for allowing us to use this beautiful place. This is a very, very beautiful place. So
it is. I like
we've,
it.
We've exceeded our time. I'll let director help us and close the program. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our COC is here. He's not. Or the grandma, is he sleeping? Have you? You can't.
Okay. Here. Of course. We have a very wonderful Biafran. This is one of the people that make it happen. He abandoned all his work and all he's doing in Houston, and caught, I think, is that a red eye flight or whatever. You know, I mean, he came a little bit late, so I'll allow him to kind of just say a little word for us. We're almost done. We gotta get out of here quickly. So I'm calling on Dr. Iraya to give us a small little, just make it a little bit short, please. Thank you, my brother. Yeah, he's the coordinator of coordinators.
He will close the program for us, actually.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And rightfully so.
Allow him to close the program for us. Thank you, my brother. Thank you.
Ebe ka unu si
Biafra.
Thank you, Director. I'm very grateful to be here, and I thank God. I thank you, Kwokika Abiyama, and happy to see you again. And Biafrans, friends of Biafra, and lovers of freedom, my name is Maze Chukwuemeka Iruanya. I come from Arondio Nyemobi in Uguta local government area in Biafra land. I live in Houston. I am oil and gas engineer, and by the grace of Chukwu Okike Abiyama, I am the coordinator of all coordinators. And tomorrow, we will talk to the World Igbo Congress.
Of course we will.
And tell them the imperative, the need, why they should support Biafra. But let me leave that. I just want to make a short speech. I was listening, and if people who tune into the afternoon program or the morning program that started in the morning, you must have heard me. I called in, and I listened to that program up to the end, and I discovered, I observed that majority of the people calling were calling from the United States.
Of course, still now they're still calling.
Almost a year or 2 years ago, I was discussing with Mazi Austin Ofoma, Chukwu Ofoma, and he said they were able to monitor our radio broadcast. And they found out that almost 70% of the listenership are from the United States.
Of course.
The people listening, 70% of, and we are talking about people in their hundreds of thousands, the United States. And today, you know, those in the nursing profession, they call it evidence-based practice. Today, we have the evidence to support that, because the majority of the people calling are calling from the United States. You may be wondering, where am I going with this? Buhari, the terrorist and pedophile, went ahead and bought a company in the United States here, and the company went and bought the company that is carrying our signal in the satellite, our content carrier to the satellite. And they switched us off. In other words, they discontinued carrying our signals. What some of you don't know, I'm explaining this so that I'll use it to round up what I was saying. It is costing us, Director, I believe, 3 or 4 times now, what it used to cost us.
Of course, yes. We are paying almost quadruple what we used to pay before.
Right.
Yes.
It's quadrupled. 4 times what we are paying now, because we negotiated a very good rate with Satlink. But they switched us off. And we need to propagate this message. We need to, you know, educate the people. Because our strategy is this. Knowledge is power. If somebody is saying, I want my freedom, I want Nigeria to go away and leave Biafra, you must have knowledge. You must back yourself with knowledge. And how do you get that knowledge? Where do you get that knowledge? We have all, you know, testify that knowledge we've received from Radio Biafra. Therefore, we need to sustain the broadcast. And having switched us off, we now have to pay 4 times. And they are still battling with us. Of course, Director has the privileged information about that. They are still battling us. And for each thing they do, it costs us more and more money. Where am I going with all this? We have majority of the listenership in the United States. And we are struggling to fund just ordinary radio broadcast. If Director were to tell you how much it costs us on a daily basis to maintain our people in Biafra land, to train and everything, that you will marvel how we survive. Yet, today, people are calling, majority of the people are calling from the United States. If we all display that I don't care attitude, how will it even be possible for a director to be able to pay his airfare to be here and then broadcast for the whole world to be hearing? Yet, majority of the people are listening from the United States of America. I am pricking your conscience tonight. I want you, when you go home, you meditate on this. Why this I don't care attitude? How are we going to get money to fund at least the broadcast? We are talking about buying weapons to defend ourselves. Also, but I am talking about the broadcast. Remember what I said? We are quadrupling our cost of broadcasting now because of what this is doing. And yet we are not getting people supporting us financially. Please, this is my appeal. We need support. If what we are doing is okay with you, support us. Don't just be calling, Director, I'm with you, I'm behind you, I'm on top of you, I'm under you, I'm by your side, I am standing on your chest. No. We need you to come out and support us financially. Without finance, we are not going anywhere. Any day there is no broadcaster, I get inbox messages, I get phone calls. you know, what is happening? But we need money to do all that. So I'm not going to go further. I have more. We have more meetings to hold and other avenues that we'll be talking. But I want you to go home tonight and think about it very well and ask yourself, how am I going to support this effort financially? Director, let me stop here. And I say, may God bless Biafran.
You say, thank you very much, and bless you too.
Thank you very much, Dr. Iranya. Thank you very much. I have an announcement to make. Our host want to just give us just a very little statement. Our host, Francisco Polo. Francisco Polo is in charge of this foundation. So he wants to say just a little thing for us before we close.
Yes, please. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Please, yes.
Go ahead. Well, first, I want to thank you again for coming to the L. Ron Hubbard Auditorium for an important purpose, because I have been listening to your conversation, and you're talking about human rights, respect to the being, and something very important, which is your right to be free. And this is exactly what this auditorium should be for, exactly what you're talking about. So as an expression of our appreciation for your dedication, for your integrity, I want to make some presentation. Well, first of all, we have in that table this DVD. This is the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Like this we put at the beginning. Some of you saw it. Not everybody was here. But that's the story of human rights and the 30 points that the United Nations established in 1948 that we need to be educated. This is the rights that we have just for being human beings. Doesn't matter what nationality, doesn't matter what race, religion, you have these rights. So we have these DVDs. They are on that table. If you didn't get one before, this is for everybody that came to this transmission. And you're very welcome. And second, for the especially for the director, there are some books that were printed by our foundation, the Ron Hubbard Foundation. These are very special books. It's almost a special ink, very special editions about his life. And this one that I have in my hands, we call it, and it says here, is the Freedom Fighter. And what this book is, on the 60s, while you were having, do you have that lubricant? Okay, let me switch this copy. Here is a new copy. Okay, during the same time that you were fighting for an independence in Biafra, here in the United States and other countries, we have a struggle with our governments too for respect of human rights. So Ron Hubbard wrote a series of articles in something that is called today the Freedom Magazine. Those are the original articles that he wrote in the 1960s, and he was exposing the points about violation of the Constitution. He even called one constitutional destruction, like plans that exist in Europe and the United States to reduce the power of the Constitution, and this kind of thing that we went on the 60s. Those articles are historical. Now they are on this book, The Freedom Fighter by Ron Hubbard. So this is one that I want to ask the director of Radio Biafra, if you could accept this book.
Of course I will. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very, very much.
This one is for you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I will accept it and I will read it dutifully and diligently.
And the last thing I want to ask you, because I got here the other books of the collection, but here you have to say who they go to, and I will give you the topics. This one is on education. And I say, you know who it goes to, because I don't know your organization. Some people have been fighting together with you. Some have dedicated a lot of effort. And the points I have, this one, this is the education. This is the study technology that we use in this center, that Roncobar developed. This is something very new. This is more advanced than any university in the United States today. There is one that is on honor and self-respect, and this is the Values Program that we're also using to change this whole area of Los Angeles. This one, on the 60s, Ron Hubbard started his horticultural for a green war. That means that all the pesticides, insecticides, chemicals that we're using today, he was 50 years ago telling this is not what we have to do with our food, our field, right? Today, we're suffering in, here in the United States, in California, the consequence of all these pesticides, chemicals, etc. He showed that there are ways to grow plants not using chemicals. And that technology is on this book. And so I hope that all this is good for your plan.
Yes, of course it is.
And the last one is on rehabilitating people that have been on drugs, a drug society, which is the other big problem we have here in the West. And I don't know how bad it is in Nigeria, but it has reached the world, so probably there is a problem as well. So these are four titles that I'd like to put on your hand, asking you to give in to the right person that will be taking care in the future of agricultural or education or these kind of social problems. So these are for you as well.
Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Francisco. And he requested, we're going to take a group picture. Everybody here, we're going to come to this stage with him and his lovely wife and his assistant to take a group picture. So if you can give me just 1 minute, I'll move the flags, you know, then we stand up here and take a picture and I'll...
Yeah, of course. Okay. Please come forward, all of you. Move the flags so they don't stand on top of it. Everybody come climb the little stairs, and we are still running live, of course, to the whole world. This is Radio Biafra. We've come to the end of our town hall meeting. Our people are here, actually, and I'm impressed to see them. Some of them very, very impressed, I must say. Very, very impressed. And we are signing off from Los Angeles now and handing back over to London. We are handing it back over to London, please. Thank you very much for listening. As always, Biafra is our religion. Here is where we continue to worship, because Chukwukika Biama is in heaven presiding. It will bless and guide each and every one of you until we come back at you in the early hours of tomorrow morning. For those of you in Biafra land, from me, on behalf of everybody who is here, I will say good evening from Los Angeles.